Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrauss, the host. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. Give us some feedback. Love feedback. It's how we learn. Also, if you get a chance, head over to disrupteducation.co. You'll see this podcast and many others, and also my blog and where I'm going to be. And you can connect with me there as well. I would appreciate hearing from you there. On this podcast, I go back and interview one of my previous students, who is a 19-year-old realtor. Yes, you heard that right. He's 19. He is a realtor, and he is going to tell us all about how that happened and the realities behind it. Because I got to tell you, I hear a lot of young people these days saying, I'm going to be a day trader or a real estate agent. Anthony will tell us the real deal right after this. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Have you ever thought about creating courses and training online? Without a partner to guide you through that process, you're going to be stressed about why your learners aren't engaged or how to create updated content, missing revenue opportunities, and not even having enough time. I know, because I create online courses, and I have a solution for you, e-learning partners. You don't have to be overwhelmed anymore. Become a partner with eLearning Partners to create your courses and training stress-free and achieve the results you want to see. If you are thinking about wanting to create a course or training online and you believe, like I believe, that no expertise should go unheard, then click the eLearning Partners link in the notes of this podcast and you can start your journey to create your courses and training stress-free. If you want all that and more from the eLearning Partners, hit the link in the podcast notes, because there's a free masterclass for you to take. That's right, a free masterclass. Hit that link today. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I've got a great guest today, a previous student of mine and a real estate agent at the age of 19. Anthony Perrello is here. Hey, man, how are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Let's open up everything by just let's talk a little bit about who you are and what you're doing these days.
I'm Anthony. I'm 19 years old. I just moved into my first home with my girlfriend. And I'm a real estate agent. I just got licensed like last month, and I'm eager to get into it.
Yeah, right. Which I really love. And let's start digging into your education, right? Let's go back through. We can go all the way to kindergarten if you want to, but kind of describe your education. What was it like to you? What did you like? And what were some of the things that you just didn't like? Because you graduated early, you were December grad, actually one of my AP courses, and you were really just going for it. So let's unpack that, man. Talk a little bit about your educational path.
Obviously, just the regular standard education. Just went through like elementary school, just kind of just going through it like everybody else. I did not enjoy middle school that much. I think that's pretty much pointless. and then high school, I didn't enjoy, like, you know, most of the stuff, but like the courses I got to pick, I usually went in with the business classes and computers and technology, because that's what always interested me.
What were some of the highlights, and maybe some of the, you know, middle school pointless? Let's unpack that a little bit. Which one you want to start off with, the bad or the good?
For the middle school?
Yeah. Unpack that a little, because I think what you're about to say is probably pretty common.
I mean, I just feel like middle school is like that one part, like where, like, you know, elementary school, it's for your early development and it helps you like learn, read, like all the basic stuff to do everything else in life. So elementary school is basic. And then you have high school, which kind of helps you prepare for college or a job or your career. And middle school just feels like it's just kind of there, and it's just 3 years of nothing. I don't know. That's what it felt like to me.
I would agree. I go back to middle school, and I don't really remember much outside of WWF and dances, to be honest. So it was.
I can't remember any part of middle school, at least any good part.
So let's go into high school. You said you took some business classes, and you took some classes that kind of that were interesting to you. Was that all computing, or was there anything else?
Yeah, most of it was like technology classes, because that's what I've always been interested in. But like I took like economics, because I enjoy learning about the stock market too. I got into that probably in 2016. So I've been into that for like a while now. And then I just started following a bunch of people on Twitter, YouTube, and all that. And I just kind of watch their videos and am interested to learn, like, you know, study like a rich person and think how they think.
Now, that's a pretty common thing, actually, as a high school educator. You know, I've taught business for years, and I'm very interested in that. What were some of the things that you found with being maybe a broker? We're going to step into the real estate thing, but like a stock and how rich people think. What were some of the, you mentioned YouTube and Twitter, but what were some of the big takeaways that you learned early on?
I mean, they think, but like they don't overthink things. Like they'll actually just go out and do it while other people are just sitting around thinking about doing it. And they'll just keep on thinking and getting that loop instead of just going out and doing it right away.
Got it.
So that's one of their big things.
Do you feel like high school actually kind of made you overthink things sometimes?
Yeah, probably.
So now you are actually, are you fully licensed real estate agent now?
Yeah, I'm fully licensed now.
And that's amazing.
It's approved and everything.
Well, congratulations on that. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, so well, let's dive into that. First and foremost, would you have liked to gotten that earlier, like in high school? Would you, or is it just something that maybe came later?
Yeah, I mean, well, you can only, I'm pretty sure they just changed it. Like in Illinois, you used to have to be like during my freshman year, I'm pretty sure you had to be 21 to get your real estate license. And then they lowered it back down to 18, like in those years. So thankfully I don't have to wait till I'm 21. but I mean, so when I left high school and it was that December, and I was planning on going to college like right away, like in January. And I didn't really like fully make it into college. Like I didn't do all the paperwork or whatever that they need you to do with all the financial aid stuff and all that. Part of that is because they're not really that great at helping you, but maybe that's it for me. But I wish I would have done the real estate then, but I did think about it like at that time, because I was like, man, I should probably just do that. But I didn't end up doing it because there's like a lot of people that are against real estate. There's a lot of people who are like, well, that's not a real job and it's commission based and you're never going to make anything out of it. Or, you know, it's not like a sustainable job.
Yeah.
It's not what everybody else is used to.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of youth think they want to do real estate, but when it comes to the work like you've put in, they cease up or they stop. What are some of the biggest takeaways that you've learned so far early in your career? And what would you tell a teen who wants to be a real estate agent?
I would tell them that it's a lot of work up front. And on top of that, it's a big investment up front, because it's not like you can just take the test and then you become a licensed agent. first you have to take the 45, I don't know how many hours it is anymore. I think it's 75. Mm-hmm. You'd have a 15-hour course and like a 60-hour course. And one goes basically over every single law that exists in real estate. So it's pretty boring. So if you don't like law, you can't really do it. I mean, I don't really like the law either, but it's like most of the chapter going through real estate is really a lot of law. And then you have like a 15-hour one, which is a little bit more practical. But none of the pre-licensing stuff will actually prepare you for the business itself. It just kind of, it like gets you in there so you don't like break a law or anything like that. And then after that, you need to find a sponsoring broker, somebody like Keller Williams. And then they have to sponsor your license. And then you get like a 45-day sponsor card before they like run your license. Cause so that time you don't really have your license number, but they're processing it, but you can still act as an agent. So, and then after that process, and you get your license number and all that. And then after that, you have to take, or well, you could choose to take classes to actually grow your business, because real estate is more like an entrepreneurial career, because nobody's there to really like help you do it. Like they're there to help you and assist you throughout the process. But at the end of the day, it's your business. You have to spend money on your marketing and everything like that. And then they also have the post-licensing, the 45-hour course. You have to pay money to be in the Realtor Association. You have to pay money for the exams, the classes, and everything.
So you don't get rich quick being a real estate agent.
No, not most of us.
Not most of us. So what are some of the skills that you would recommend? Like, let's say you could go back maybe 2-3 years before you went into your licensing programs. What were some things that you would have worked on a little bit differently?
For just real estate as a whole, probably like communication and stuff like that, because I've always been like a little shyer, and you have to talk to pretty much everybody, be comfortable talking to everybody in every situation. So that'd be for the real estate business. But for like the pre-licensing stuff, I don't know there's much that you could do besides just research it and look at it on YouTube.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of like stuff on YouTube before you went into the classes, or did you, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like I did like real estate as a whole, but not like the pre-licensing courses and stuff like that. And like I said, when I first got out of high school, I thought about doing it, but I just didn't end up doing it. Like, I think it was like probably like, so I got out in December and I didn't actually start until September, mm-hmm. my courses, because I just kind of held off on that and like, you know, everybody kind of put it down. But eventually I got into it and actually started doing it and just went through with it.
What do they say now?
I mean, they still say that you need a job and stuff because I haven't sold a house or sure. bought a house. They still have pretty much the same attitude. I mean, they're happy I got my license, but you know, they're still like, oh, well, it's not a sustainable work or anything like that.
Everybody's minds usually change right when the money comes in after all the work, and it takes a lot.
If they sell $1 million house and get a $40,000 check, everybody's gonna be like, oh.
Oh, there you go. Right. Which in this market, yeah. Talk a little bit about like what you see in the market right now. I mean, we're in, you know, March of 2021, April 2021 here. What does it look like right now? And you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, being a young person in this game?
It's definitely like really competitive right now. So especially on the buyer side. So right now, sellers are putting up their house and then they're getting like 8 offers on a house within the first day of it being listed. So if you're an agent representing the buyer, you have to be able to give them the strongest offer. Obviously, normally in like the normal market where the buyers control the market, you would be like trying to bring them down on the price of their house, but you can't really do that now. You can't really get the best price, because if you have the lower price, then nobody's going to accept your offer. It's always going to get rejected. So you have to be, you have to really think, and you have to encourage your buyers to not put so many contingencies in the offers. Because if somebody's like, oh, I want a home inspection, I want this and I want this, and they're just going to reject your offer because they have 7 other offers they're looking at that are a lot better than yours.
Talk about learning negotiation, right? I mean,
yeah,
going through all that. Do you have any outside of residential, being in real estate, have you looked at any other avenues as well, or is that an option for you?
Well, I looked at like as far as like real estate, like residential. So like I've been obviously an agent first.
Yeah.
And you have to do a bunch of other stuff, like if you want to do commercial or anything like that. So, but like in the residential, you could help somebody buy a house, you could help somebody sell a house, or you can help people rent places. And then like outside of just being an agent, I can also do, wholesaling real estate. And then what's that other one? Investment properties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my long-term goal, is to get like investment properties and apartment buildings.
If you could change something, let's go back into high school. We know middle school is crazy fun time, but, let's go back into high school, knowing what you know now, right? And you know, you did take a few business courses in technology, but what would you do differently to make it a better process or change it up in any way?
I think I did pretty good doing all the business classes myself, what was offered to me. I think they should teach a lot more about like more practical things in life, because they don't really teach you about anything. They don't teach you about like credit cards or credit scores or anything like that. Or at least it's not required. They just make you take like one or two business classes, but right. They don't make you take like, they should take, make you take the personal finance classes about credit cards. Cause everybody else has this, especially some parents that, you know, they have credit card debt. They're going to tell their kids to never get a credit card, and then they're just never going to build their credit score.
Yeah.
And then they won't be able to buy a house or a car or anything like that.
So more of that, right? Because we do that, but it's so compacted, right? It's so compacted into, I've taught those things even at where you went to high school, but like it's so compacted and it's within like 18 weeks. Would you see something like a some sort of like credit card / monetary piece throughout the school, or how would you teach it better to give people more experience? Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, like the personal finance class should just be required mm-hmm. for everybody. So that way they do it. I mean, just so that way they don't even have the option to not do it, because pretty much, I mean, even if they don't want to take the class, they're really going to regret it if they don't take it at that time anyways. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do differently.
Another piece is, you know, I don't think you're unlike a lot of people when they're looking into that really wealthy person and it's a wow factor. And then, but what kept you going into like real estate and following through? What was your motivation behind that? Because what you're talking about is there's a lot of students, but what were the things that like, you know what, I can do this. And you did follow through.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that kept me going is just watching a bunch of successful YouTubers and real estate agents, people like Ryan Serhant, if you know who that is, he's like a popular one. He was on like the Million Dollar Listing Show,
mm-hmm.
YouTube channel now. And then some people on TikTok, and just pretty much the influencers that like help you like learn about real estate. And you just see them how successful they are. And you're like, wow, I want to be there. And then I kind of looked at commission splits on Keller Williams and how you get 70%. And I just kind of did in the calculator,
mm-hmm.
like if I sold this type of house, how much money would my take home pay be? And I'm like, wow, you just crunch in the numbers and you're like, oh, $40,000 on selling $1 million house.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, I want to be able to make somebody's annual salary in one house.
Side. Got it. Very driven, but also very driven to help others. You know, from our previous conversations, trying to fit people's wants and needs into a very tight market right now.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good. Working with people and helping them actually find their dreams, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because like the home is going to be the biggest purchase they probably make in their life.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you're selling somebody a house. You're literally selling them where their family's going to grow up and all that.
Well, I want to give people the opportunity to actually connect with you and understand how can I speak more to Anthony. What are some ways that people can connect with you?
I have my business card here. So you can contact me either by my phone number. You can either call me or text me, 630-822-0679. And then my Instagram is SunnyGTAMan, SunnyGTAMan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have that on Twitter, Instagram, and then I also have a Facebook page.
Let me ask you one last question before we sign off, because that's interesting. As a young person, obviously social media is a little bit different than old dudes like me, especially in the market game. How do you see you using social media for business? What are some of the ways that you use it?
So right now I just have like my Facebook page, and I'm keeping my Instagram kind of personal and real estate, because mm-hmm. that's what most of the real estate agents do. But I have a page dedicated on Facebook just to my real estate. And then eventually when I get money, you can use the money to do Facebook ads and actually spread it across the market. And you can either have it targeted marketing, or you could do it like where it does it automatically, or you can make your own audience. And you could just look into the stats on like the MLS and the tools they give you, and then just kind of match that up to the marketing that you buy for Facebook ads.
So different, so different. You know, I've known some older real estate agents when the web came out and realtor.com and all these different places like that. But you're used to that, and I think that's pretty advantageous for you as a youngster. Where do you see it going? Where do you see kind of marketing going? Do you see it in TikTok? Do you see it coming up in different places?
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much anywhere where you can get it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
One last thing I want to mention is that my market center, Keller Williams, is going to be doing a career night on April 8th at 6 p.m. on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants the link to that, they can contact me at any of the information that I left.
Appreciate that. We'll put that information up as well, and even more that are coming your way. But thanks so much, Anthony, for hanging out.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disrupt Education.